what I told the kids about don't get antsy. And the other one that I wanted to tell them too was patience is a virtue. You agree with that? How many of you? How many of you were raised with that? Oh, yes. Patience is a virtue. And I never did. I never learned that ever. Patience. I'm telling you what, it was more than once. My dad would get so, don't rush into things. And I'd say, okay, and did. And I think all those years later, I'm still doing it. And Barbara says, why are you rushing so much? I hear it. I do. We do, don't we? Don't we like to get things done? Oh, I wish they would just get ahead and get there. How many of you get antsy behind a car that just won't move when the light changes? And I just go, Barbara says, but you're a minister. You have to learn vocabulary at an young age, I think. And no, patience. When I read that lesson this morning, the lesson we're going to be reading together, which is basically a forerunner, which I hope to tie together next Sunday when we have our communion at Pentecost. And it's an interesting lesson. And I never really thought about it the way that I'm thinking about it for the sermon this morning. And I thought, patience. Oh, it's a good idea to talk about patience. I can remember my chores on Saturday were always to clean the basement. Did any of you have Saturday chores when you were growing up? I had to clean the basement. How it got so dirty in one week, I don't know. But my dad must have known a secret, and that's what I had to do. And if I didn't get it all done the way he expected it to be done, I don't mean white glove treatment, but it had to be clean. And I said, I'll get around to it. And there were a lot of round to its that I did. And I learned, he made me sit down at an old desk there that we had in the basement and open up that big old dictionary and look up the word procrastination. Procrastination. He said, that's you. I didn't know anybody named you, so I thought he was talking about something else. It was me. Patience, getting things done, and thinking it through. What I said to the kids, what I said to the kids here about praying is the prime example of getting guidance and direction when you aren't sure where you ought to go or what you ought to do. Okay? Open your Bibles. This is a good one before Pentecost. It's a good one, too, for us to think about. Hurry up and wait. Okay, the first chapter, verses 6 through 14. So when they met together, that is, after they got back and they were together, the first part of it tells you all of that. You know, there's Jesus in the midst of them. He's talking up a storm. They ask him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom of Israel? He said to them, it's not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority. Patience. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, all of Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Patience. After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. Poof. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. Men of Galilee, they said, why do you stand here looking into the sky? The same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you've seen him go into heaven. Then they returned to Jerusalem from the hill called the Mount of Olives, a Sabbath's day walk from the city. When they arrived, they went upstairs to the room where they were staying. Those present were Peter, John, James, and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James, son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas, son of James. They all joined together constantly in prayer, along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. You have a whole lot of theological stuff that could go into this scripture, which would be side benefits, I suppose, of a good Bible study. But the interesting aspect that I want you to think about this morning, looking at that, particularly since we live in a culture of impatience, and when we read this lesson, we can't understand why the disciples who marveled at the risen Christ, who'd been standing there talking to them, standing there, go back to Jerusalem to pray. Why did they go back to pray? They could have prayed right where they were, couldn't they? They couldn't. They had to go back where it was, the conclusion, in order to begin. I want you to think about this, looking at the lesson, and put it in modern day terms. If we'd been present, what would we have done in this miraculous setting? Well, we'd probably spring into action with our smartphone. We'd put it on Twitter. I'm sure we'd put it on Facebook for some more people to see. We would want to take some selfies with our camera, wouldn't we? Not only of Jesus standing there, but going up in this puff of smoke. Those angels, you've got to be telling me something that I think is so exciting. Get a picture of them before they go away. And hope that the cell phone would hold out with enough energy power to take care of all the pictures and things that you wanted to do. And maybe if you really had a good set of pictures, they'd go viral on YouTube. How's that? Isn't that what we would do in a setting like this? In short, we would make sure pretty fast, that we were the first ones to witness marvelous miracle and let the world know that we were there. I can prove I saw it. Can you? That's us. But would it ever occur to us to slow down at that point? Which is exactly what Jesus did to those disciples. Slow down. Ease off. Get your thinking together. Pray before you share everything that you'd seen or experienced with the world around us, because you're going to have to do it. But why don't you pray first? Pray. Relax. Take it a step at a time. Don't be so anxious to let people know something that you can't wait to share. The only thing that those first disciples did was to hurry back to Jerusalem to pray and wait together for the Spirit to move them into action. That's exactly what they did. Jesus said, wait until the Spirit comes. You're going to be too antsy. Wait until it settles on you. Wait till you have everything in order. Then you can do something about it. Passive? This is not a passive story. It's not. It's not passive in the least. They were doing serious praying. This is waiting for God, and only then could the true action that Jesus is calling them to do. Can you imagine going into all the world? All the world. That's a big sentence. I think they were probably terrified. Waiting for God isn't something that you do very easily. And then to take the action that really matters. It's not something you do naturally. Even if you were a disciple, you wouldn't. You couldn't. The disciples knew, and they continued to teach us something in today's lesson about right now. What aren't we doing as churches that follow Jesus Christ? Whenever we're faced with a daunting task, whenever we have a major problem, which churches have all the time? Presbyterians seem to have it more than others that I know. They really do. Do you know that? We get all bent out of shape over stuff and more stuff. And I've been reading about all the General Assembly things that's going to be going on next weekend when they meet in Detroit. Oh, what we're facing. Oh, what we're not facing anything any differently than any other church or any other society's been facing. We have to face up to it, and we have to deal with it realistically. What are we? Are we going to go backward? No, we can't go backward, for heaven's sake. You can't go backward. Can you regain your youth? No. I was reminded of that this week. And I was reminded of it, I'm sure, as many times as some of you have when the doctor says at your age, oh, I love this. It's a health thing, but it's also a spiritual thing. A spiritual thing that's very important. Take the time to pray. Take the time to process. Take the time to think through whatever you're going to do, a business plan, something that's going to be affecting you in terms of your checkbook, dealing with your home, your health. Do you pray about that? I'm sure you do. I do. Don't we? That God will give us strength and healing. That's the good news that we have here. We'd better hurry up and wait. Wait for what? Wait for the Spirit to touch your life. Wait for the Spirit to give you calm and peace of mind. Wait for the Spirit to give you direction. We can't face the world's rejection or the acceptance that seduces us into thinking that we're the ones responsible for success. There's nobody here like that. I remember reading an article this week where so-and-so had died. It was in the church, and it said that he was always proud of the way he succeeded in doing. We don't succeed in doing without God's help. And too often we put God on the shelf, which is exactly what the disciples were playing with after they witnessed Jesus Christ in the middle of where they were. Let's get back to Jerusalem and reassess where we are. Let's get back to where it was and where it ended, we thought, in order to begin again and to face anew what God wants us to do with our lives. The only way to properly prepare for whatever result from our message of God, good news that we find here is to pray. It's an easy out. Pray. To devote yourself to being in the presence of God, just you and God together. When I drove down from the chapel this morning and I really was editorializing over some stuff. And Barbara says, well, don't get mad at me. I wasn't. I was editorializing when I realized I better shut up and just silently talk to God about what was going to happen at McLeod. That's the important thing, isn't it? Taking one important step at a time. Laying it at God's doorstep and say, God, here it is. Give me the guidance I need. Give me the strength I need. Give me the patience I need. What the disciples were praying for, give us the vision of what Jesus wants us to do and be. It's not my will, God, it's yours. Then we accept the risks. Then we put aside our egos. Then we put aside our excuses. Our round to it's. And do what God expects. And that's what this is all about. Fulfilling the call that Jesus Christ made to those disciples in this little bitty lesson. And you're there. All of you are there. All of you are there. And God is still expecting the same thing from you that He expected from them. Spread and share the good news of my love and my hope. God's love. God's hope. It's up to you. It's up to us. God, our Father, we're grateful for the spirit of love you've given us in Jesus Christ and the challenge that you give beyond the cross. Make us worthy. Make us willing. Amen.